And so we called up Dr. Richard Lindzen. He's a professor emeritus of atmospheric sciences at MIT, and he was in the area, so he decided to come by. And we really appreciate you being with us, Dr. Lindzen, to discuss this. And I guess that just on Saturday, I was reading it. They were saying Donald Trump's jewel of a mansion, Mar-a-Lago, is about to be washed away in Florida. They were very excited about that as well, and now they think they have proof that the world is about to be washed away, and they're going to show this to Donald Trump, and he's going to recant, and he's not going to be a heretic anymore, a denialist, as the New York Times calls him.
I mean, strangely enough, I think Donald Trump may know a little bit more than they give him credit for. I mean, they're talking about temperature data that's rather uncertain. I mean, you should understand why it's uncertain. A lot of reasons. But, you know, let's say you have a station in Denver, Mile High City.
Right.
You have a station in Nantucket, you know, sea level.
Right.
How do you average those two? You have to make adjustments. And because you have to make all these adjustments, it's not good to more than a quarter of a degree. That gives them an opening. You can always adjust it up to a quarter of a degree. And you'll notice all the adjustments that are made, and they're frequently made, always make it seem steeper. They lower the low, they increase the high, but in this case they had to depress the high in 98 to make this one look a little larger. But when you're finished, you're talking about 0.2 of a degree. No one can feel it. The only things these tell you...
The New York Times can feel it. Just you can see it. They're in heat as they write this story today.
The thing, you know, how should I put it? As long as you can get people excited as to whether it's 0.1 of a degree warmer or cooler, then you don't have to think. You can assume everyone who's listening to you is an idiot. The really important thing is, even with that adjustment, the last 20 years are way below what any of the models predicted. So that suggests they're over-predicting to any normal person. As to 0.2 of a degree or 0.1 of a degree, nobody really can feel it, even the New York Times with their immense sensitivity.
And the other thing, too, is that there's been a record in recent decades of not just adjusting the data, quote-unquote, but also just totally fabricating data, right? Or changing the data?
I don't know. The whole point is so crazy because the temperature is always going up or down a little.
Right.
And what's astonishing is the last 20 years it hasn't done much of anything. What they don't mention is there was a big El Nino in 2016, and in recent months the temperature has been dropping back into the zero trend level.
I didn't read that in the story, that the temperature has been dropping the last few months. I guess that's weather as opposed to climate. That's the distinction they always make.
I suppose. But, you know, the hysteria over this issue is truly bizarre.
But isn't it a religion? I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah,
it's like a cult.
It depends. It depends on who you are. If you're interested in big government, this is the easy way to nationalize energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you are less attuned to these policy issues, I guess it gives you something to believe in. I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, in that sense, it's a religion.
Well, they call it, I mean, you know, they call the people who are skeptical, they now call them denialists.
Oh, they've been doing that since the 90s. Gore introduced that in a New York Times op-ed.
And the L.A. Times, I think, maybe the New York Times, too, but the L.A. Times no longer prints letters to the editor disputing the data on this.
I hate to say it. I mean, the Pope is getting close to that.
He is. He is. And the Pope's infallible, right? Well, on theological matters.
Yeah.
Theological matters.
I mean, and, you know, I've seen that used. You know, don't you believe? The Pope believes. I don't know. I mean, it's got to come to an end. I mean, it's doing so much damage. I mean, we're really getting to the point where it's trillions of dollars of wasted money. It's preventing You know, there are 4 billion people who would love access to electricity and energy, and we're getting in their way. And that's cutting their life expectancy and cutting their hope for the future. I mean, you know, you can talk about it as a religion, and it's kind of stupid and funny. And you have John Kerry saying he knows that physics and chemistry are tough, but climate any child can understand. I mean, you know, but, you know, that would all be very funny if it weren't hurting people, if it weren't hurting the planet, if it weren't hurting the environment.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, someone just pointed out, a texter just pointed out that when he was growing up 40 years ago, I can remember a Newsweek cover about this, global cooling.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it just totally turned it around.
They turned it around because in the 60s, they decided climate would be a good hook for energy policy.
Mm-hmm.
They started with cooling. That didn't work out too well. So they switched to warming. Didn't matter. It was always the same villain, the same policy.
Right, and give them power, and they can deal with the problem du jour, whether it's global cooling or global warming, right?
It was irrelevant.
Right.
But it caught on. I mean, you know,
In a certain group, it caught on.
Well, you know, what are the rules of propaganda? I mean, you know, if you're going to lie, lie big.
Big lie.
Big lie. And the other thing is capture the narrative and repeat it incessantly.
Right.
If you succeed in doing that, the truth begins to sound crazy.
Yeah, and that's what the New York Times is concerned about. Now they say, well, now Trump is coming in. I mean, it just the story is unbalanced to begin with, but then it just goes
with
totally.
Justin Gillis, it has to be.
Right, but it goes into a total editorial as it goes on, and it just says, with Donald Trump taking power in less than 2 days, they're going to change the NOAA, and these groups that are reporting this are going to be under the control of people who don't believe this. So, I mean, it's almost like he's admitting, if you read between the lines, that they
want people in who will...
Right. You have people in there now who are towing the line of the New York Times and the Obama administration. Now you're going to have people towing the line for the other side.
Look, there's a really simple test. If your data is uncertain, there'll be corrections. And roughly speaking, it'll be 50-50 one way, the other way. It's uncertain. But when they're all in one direction, you know something.
It's settled science, Dr. Lindzen. You know that. I love that phrase, settled science, right?
Well, there are things that are settled about it, but not the catastrophism.
Right. Yeah, we know it's going to be cold in the winter and warmer in the summer. That's settled science.
That's more or less reasonable.
Yeah. The Earth is not flat, although, I don't know, you might get an argument from some of these people. We're talking to Dr. Richard Lindzen. He's the professor emeritus of atmospheric scientists at MIT. Are you concerned that this kind of jihad or crusade against skeptics is going to continue, or do you think we're going to get
I'm surprised it lasted this long. I mean, I thought in 88 when I saw this can't last. I was mistaken. So, I mean,
as long as the money's coming in, though, what's to end it, though?
Between 88 and 93, the budget for, broadly speaking, climate science went from $300 million to about $3 billion.
Wow.
$2 billion. Yeah, I mean, somewhere.
I can see where how they made a decision to get in on the other side of the issue. You know?
And then
you got the, you know, your money was starting to dry up a little bit, wasn't it?
Oh, sure.
You know, when you were your last years at MIT?
Oh, yeah. I mean, NSF and NASA, you know, closed down. The report said this would be dangerous to humanity to support this. Department of Energy still had a few reasonable people, and they allowed me, with the grant I had, to stretch it out as long as I could. So that was okay. And, you know, occasionally, if there were a postdoc or something, they often brought their own money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, though, well, they accused you of taking money from the fossil fuel industries, I believe, at one point,
as they used to say in French, à la vie, I wish.
Yeah.
Now, the fossil fuel industry has always tried to play it safe with public relations and so on. The only large sum ExxonMobil ever gave was to Stanford for promoting global warming.
Right. I never understood that.
That was $100 million.
No one asked Rex Tillotson about that, did they, during the hearings?
No, they didn't ask him. I don't even think it was his fault. It's what they call greenwashing.
We all know what that means. Now, maybe we don't know the term greenwashing, but we know you're paying money to make people look the other way, basically.
You know, when it reaches a certain level, I think someone like Tillerson, they have to worry about their stockholders.
What did you think when you heard all these people like Kamala Harris, the new senator from California, asking Pompeo, the new CIA boss, about global warming? I mean, what did you think of that?
I thought it was mashuga, as they say. I mean, she must know about as much as my pet gerbil about global warming.
But she knows what her constituents, her money constituents,
apparently,
guys like Tom Steyer, that's one of her constituents,
apparently,
right?
Apparently, that matters. I really liked it with Ben Carson, where they grilled him. Didn't they know how important global warming would be for public housing?
Right.
It would save the heating bill.
Yeah, I think that was Elizabeth Warren.
Yes. Right.
That was one of her highlights of the hearing process. And there've been a lot for her,
the insight.
So I just so in other words, then you don't think we should take this report, this latest report here that's got the Globe and the New York Times
like
so excited.
I think like everything else, you should look at the data. You should think to yourself, what happens if your body temperature goes up and down a tenth of a degree, and how much do you worry about that?
To say nothing.
Right.
Nothing, in other words.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, to imply that a rise in temperature of a tenth of a degree is proof that the world is coming to an end has to take one back to the Dark Ages.
I know. And then they also say, my wife always says, if Palm Beach is really sinking, how come the real estate values keep going up and up and up? I mean, you would think the people who own in Palm Beach.
I think it's isostatic rebound.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump doesn't have a for sale sign out on the front lawn of Mar-a-Lago saying.
I didn't notice anything on Sea Island either.
Yeah, no, price to move before this is overrun by the rising tides. And what about Obama? Obama said he was going to do something about the
rising
tide. What
it's
happened?
It's been going on for 10,000 years, so, what's the big deal?
Thank you for stopping by, okay. Dr. Richard Lindzen. We had a good time, and please come back again Pollyannish, the sky is falling report comes out. Thank you.
Given how much pleasure it gave them, we shouldn't deny it.